Welcome to the Financial Samurai Podcast, where we endeavor to reach financial freedom sooner rather than later. Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai. And in this episode, we're going to talk about my 2018 going into 2019 passive income portfolio update. So ever since landing my first job out of college in 1999, I've been laser sharp determined to build enough passive income in order to not have a job. I was getting into work by 5:30 a.m. every single morning and leaving after 7:30 p.m. every single evening for a couple years. And there was just no way I could sustain this type of work hours for 10 years, let alone until age 60 plus like my parents. So I knew I needed to save and save aggressively and build passive income so I could one day escape and just do my own thing. By 2010, I decided that if I could earn about $80,000 in passive income, I would leave my job, which was paying multiple six figures permanently, and work on Financial Samurai instead because I loved blogging so much and I love the online community. Then once Financial Samurai started taking off, I decided to shoot for $200,000 in passive income with the funny money I was earning online. I knew that if I could generate at least $200,000 a year in passive income, I would have enough income to provide for a family of up to four in San Francisco or Honolulu. Given my housing costs were pretty much under control, I bought a house several years ago, and I also bought a fixer-upper, which was way below what I could afford, and the cost of living was not so bad. And now that we have a son, I'm happy to report that $200,000 is indeed enough to live in an expensive city around the nation, around the world, so long as you have your housing intact. And so for those of you who continue to be anti-housing, who want to rent all your lives, just know that inflation is going to get you eventually. 10 years from now, you're going to be like, wow, rents have really gone up, whereas your housing costs are more or less going to be fixed. In 2017, I took a huge step back in terms of my passive income generation because I ended up selling a rental home I had owned since 2005. It was generating about $60,000 in cash flow after expenses but before taxes, and I just couldn't take owning that thing anymore because of the hassle with tenants and also the property taxes of $23,000 a year. Once I sold, my passive income basically fell to about $150,000 a year, which is a significant 28% decline. But within 6 months, I had reinvested most of the proceeds from the home sale to bring total passive income back over $200,000. For 2018 and into 2019, I'm estimating about $203,724. Without a clear plan for reinvesting the proceeds, I'm not so sure I would have sold the house since I'm long-term bullish on San Francisco real estate. You know, the land area is quite small. It's very hard to build new housing. Everybody is saying not in my backyard. And we've got a huge, huge growing economy due to tech, venture capital, and so forth. However, raising a newborn and dealing with rowdy tenants just left me way too stretched. And I felt that I just needed some time and less stress so I could focus on my family. Let me break down the $203,724 in passive income by categories. The first category is interest income from a CD and online savings. Interest income accounts for 3.7% of total, or $7,620 a year. I've got a 185,000 CD generating 3% interest coming due this summer, and although the return is low, it's guaranteed, and it gave me the confidence to be more aggressive in investing in risk assets in, you know, 2012, 13, 14, 15, 16, because I knew no matter what happens, I would always have this chunk of change, and I had other CDs as well. My online interest income has come down since I aggressively deployed some capital at the beginning of the year and again during the February market correction. So it's not bad earning $635 in risk-free income a month, but it's not something really to write home about. The second category is total stocks and bonds income. This accounts for 50.7% of my total passive income, or $103,344 a year, or $8,612 a month. This is where I made some huge progress, because in 2017, I ended up deploying roughly $611,000 into stocks and $604,327 into municipal bonds. The stock allocation should boost my dividend income by about $12,500 a year, and the municipal bond portion should boost my income by about $18,000 a year after tax, or $26,000 a year pre-tax. So the combined total boost is about $38,500 pre-tax, which recovers over half of my lost $60,000 from selling my house. I could earn higher dividend income, but a large portion of my stock allocation is in growth stocks that pay no dividends, and also structured notes which have some downside protection, but I have to give up some of the dividends. There was this one structured note that I invested in about a year and a half ago, which was pretty cool. It was basically an S&P 500 note where you got to participate in 150% of the upside, and you had a barrier of, I think it was like 10 or 20% of the downside. So I invested about $150,000 in that, but there really is no annual dividend, just upside participation and a bullet payment once the structured note comes due. So the dividend that does come from stocks are primarily from the S&P 500 index ETFs that I have. And although this is a passive income report, I'm more interested in building a large financial nut through principal appreciation rather than dividend investing while I'm still relatively young. Of course, I am getting older now that I'm 40, but I still have like 20 plus years of relatively aggressive investing in me. So I do have a growth mindset after all, since I am an entrepreneur and I'm thinking about plowing back earnings into growth and so forth. Now that interest rates have reached a two-year high and look like they're going a little bit higher into the future, I'll probably be allocating more cash flow into bonds, municipal bonds specifically, given my tax rate, and that should continue to boost passive income. In fact, once my CD comes due, which is paying a 3% gross yield, I'll probably invest a majority of that CD into municipal bonds, which are paying an even higher gross yield of probably around 4.5% to 5% now. The next category is real estate income, which accounts for 21.1% of total, or $43,080 a year. This used to be my heavyweight passive income section, but now, after I sold the house, I only got a San Francisco rental condo, which I bought in 2003, and a Lake Tahoe vacation rental, which I unfortunately bought in 2007. So although I miss my old house, I really do, it was, you know, it had three levels, it was great for an au pair room and everything, I don't miss paying the $23,000 in annual property taxes, the mortgage, dealing with leaks in the ceiling, and also managing terrible tenants. I drove by the other day and I couldn't believe how much noisier and busier the street was than where I currently live. I just don't think I'd feel comfortable raising a family there anymore because it's just close to a very, very busy street and there's just too much traffic. And there's just more traffic means more crime, and I don't know. I think I'm really happy with where I'm living now. So in January 2018, I actually missed my chance of raising the rent on my new incoming tenants for my Pacific Heights condo because it didn't come to mind until very late in the interview process. So by the time I thought about it, I was like, oh, okay, let's just keep the rent the same. I didn't write out my previous tenant's sudden decision to move out in December 2017 after 1.5 years because they provided a relatively seamless transition by introducing their longtime friends to replace them. You know, it's always a bummer to lose your tenants, especially if they've been pretty good. But I didn't miss a month of rent, and I didn't have to do any marketing and showing or anything. So I felt, well, you know what? I'll just keep the rent the same, and we'll see how they do over the next 6 months to a year, and then we'll reassess. So after these tenants move out, though, I am thinking of just keeping the rental empty with furniture. So it's a furnished empty condo, in other words. And it sounds stupid to give up $4,200 a month in rent or more, but I really hate dealing with HOA. They've got these move-in, move-out rules. They've got, you know, there's like maintenance issues I've still got to deal with. And given that the condo doesn't have a mortgage and I don't have to pay taxes on all of the rental income due to amortization, I'm not giving up the full $4,200 a month. The condo can be a place for my sister, parents, or in-laws to crash when they want to stay in San Francisco for longer than a week or two. Because after all, I don't live in a very big house right now. So if they wanted to stay long-term, they can welcome to stay in this condo, which is in a great part of the city. As for the Lake Tahoe property, it continues to be 100% managed by a property management company, and I love it. You know, having to go 3.5 hours away to shovel the snow and manage tenants and all that is not my cup of tea. So it feels absolutely amazing not to have to do anything. And yes, I've got to pay 25% of revenue to them, but it's totally worth it. And I can't wait. I can't wait to bring up my boy this coming winter to play in the snow. I could bring him up this winter, but I want him to get stronger and walk and run more comfortably before he does. And I've been dreaming about this moment for over 10 years now. A vacation property is not going to be a really good financial decision for most people, I think. It's more of a lifestyle decision, and I can't wait to get into the meat of this lifestyle choice that I made 10 years ago. All right, the final category is alternative income, which represents 24.4% of total, or $49,680. I am the most excited about alternative income because alternative income has a lot of upside and it has a lot of ability for you to control the outcome. So the first item is book sales, which accounts for $36,000 a year of passive income. So sales of the book, How to Engineer Your Layoff, continues to be pretty steady. I don't see book sales really taking off unless I really go on like a book tour, go on TV, radio, or talk about my book at conferences or do a lot of guest posts. But that's okay because, you know what, I just have no interest in promoting it heavily, probably because I don't like to sell anything to anybody. And also, I want this product to be passive. If I'm actively trying to sell the book, it's not passive at all. So all I've done is update my book sales page, update the book every 1 or 2 years, and then write the occasional post on my site that relates to how to engineer your layoff. The only way I think book sales will go up with me doing nothing is if the economy starts to weaken. People often wait until the very end to do something about a bad situation. And only the smart ones will read the book before they feel they need to make a change. And based on data, only 3% of people are actually smart to look ahead and plan. What's really cool about the book income, though, is that it now generates more than my San Francisco rental condo income. What's also kind of nutty is that creating my book required zero capital, whereas if you wanted to buy my San Francisco rental condo, you would have to pay over $1.2 million. All I needed to create my book was energy, effort, creativity, and my brain. And I truly believe developing your own online product, which is totally scalable and low cost, is one of the best ways to make money. Next is venture debt, $12,240 a year. Venture debt is a way to get in and out of companies earning a higher interest rate with lower risk than private equity. Next is P2P lending, $1,440 a year. I'm totally disinterested in P2P lending because returns have not kept up with interest rate growth. And also, I just don't like people welching on their debt. It just feels bad. And then finally, real estate crowdfunding, which I estimate will generate about $9,600 a year passively. Once I sold my SF rental, it was natural to reinvest some of the proceeds into real estate crowdfunding to keep sector exposure. I didn't invest a lot in some of my favorite REITs because I felt like a rising interest rate environment would be a stronger headwind for REITs. With real estate crowdfunding, I could be more surgical and invest in areas that had stronger growth markets. I first invested $250,000 into the RealtyShares Domestic Equity Fund after I got the proceeds in the summer of 2017. And then after spending several months trying to make lowball offers on various San Francisco properties and losing and failing, I invested another $300,000 in the fund in December 2017. So in total, I've got $800,000 in the fund and $10,000 in a commercial property in Pennsylvania. And they're all equity, which means it just doesn't generate regular interest income. And that's fine because I'm currently in a high tax bracket and I want to push out that income, hopefully 4 to 5 years in the future, perhaps when my online income or business income isn't as strong. Now, if the fund achieves its objective 15% IRR, I should have a compounded $70,000 plus a year return for 5 years, which will definitely boost my passive income returns, but I'm not going to count on it. I'm going to hope for 8% and I'll call it at that. So in conclusion, If you want financial freedom, you must get your passive income squared away. Once you do, you'll be able to comfortably do anything you want. You can engineer your layoff, you can go travel, spend time with family, or you can take more risk and start a business. Thanks to the $80,000 in passive income I was generating in 2012, I was able to leave my job and focus on Financial Samurai. And because I was able to focus on Financial Samurai, now 5-6 years later, income has grown where I'm just recycling the capital I make from my business back into passive income investments so I can generate more passive income. Eventually, I think the good times are going to end. And when they do, hopefully my passive income and your passive income will keep you and I afloat during rough times. I'd love to know how your passive income portfolio is coming along and whether you're finding higher income opportunities with a rise in interest rates. Thanks.